Merry Christmas with a capital C. Hallelujah. Amazing things God has done for us. He is an amazing God and He's done amazing things. And He continues to amaze me. Does He continue to amaze you? Does God continue to amaze you? Are you amazed at what He does? You know, the Bible says that we are to come before Him as children. Children have a sense of awe about life. They look at everything and everything is exciting. Everything is fresh. Everything is a discovery for them, you know. They have a heart that is just wanting to know what's behind door number two. What's behind door number three? There's a sense that everything is exciting. Everything is you know, I want to know more about, wow, this place I arrived at here when I was born. And yet when we're born again, hallelujah, there's a discovery process that begins anew in a greater way. Actually, we've been given access to the very throne of God. We've been given access to that which is eternal and heavenly. And so we should never lose the sense of awe, you know, of what our amazing God is going to do next. I'm amazed at what I see God doing in my life. And I'm excited about what God is going to do in the days to come. I'm anticipating good things to come. I'm anticipating goodness and mercy to follow me all the days of my life. I'm looking forward to what God is going to do. And I expect to see the goodness of God in my life because I am His son. Do you expect the goodness of God in your life? Yes. If you're a child of His, amen, and you're walking in right relationship with your Father, then there's this sense of, ha, I wonder what's next. I wonder what Daddy has next for me. Because, you know, most of us know what it's like to anticipate Christmas morning, and especially when we were little, and, you know, waiting for those presents and having to wait for them. And when they finally came, boy, it was like in a few minutes it was over, right? At least it was with my brother and I. My sister, she's more of the, you know, my brother and I were like tearing them things up. We're going at it, you know. But you know what? We need some people that are like that about God. You know, that we're hungry, so hungry and thirsty and searching after Him diligently, because those who search for Him diligently will find Him. And He is our exceeding great reward. There is nothing in this world that can compare to the glory of God and the glory of heaven. And God is a God who gives good gifts to His children. He gives only the best to us, folks. Amen. And that your soul may prosper in the goodness and the fullness, that you might delight yourself in the Lord. He's delightful. And we come as children. And unless you become converted and become as children, you shall not see the kingdom, Jesus said. Isn't it interesting that salvation began as a babe? Amen? An invisible seed to the naked eye. It was so small that God planted a seed in the womb of the virgin. She'd never known a man, so that the bloodline would not be corrupted through Adam. This was only through the blood of that child who would grow up. Amen? And He would live a sinless life, and He would die on the cross on our behalf. He became our sacrifice. It was for you. It was for me. He died. He became the Lamb of God, the sacrifice for sin, the sins of the world. That's the amazing thing about Christmas and what this is speaking of, folks. It is a miraculous birth. It was not of the will of man. The Holy Spirit overshadowed the virgin. And that child that was born to her was of the Holy Spirit. Would you turn your Bibles this morning to Matthew? We're going to look at this. Hallelujah. Good time to look at it, right? It's amazing that how little you see anymore about the true message of Christmas. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, listen, before they came together. That means before they were sexually intimate. She was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Scripture is very clear. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, because to have a child out of wedlock, especially in that society, was something that you didn't do. You would be an outcast. Was just possibility of being stoned, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her. There it is again. Till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name what?
Jesus.
Called his name Jesus. Now let's take a look at Luke's account in chapter 2 of Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke. Now you'll notice if you're looking through the Gospels that there are differences. Things are added in other places that are not revealed in other Gospels. And the reason for that is the same reason that we have different news reporting agencies today. If you think about Fox News and CNN, and they're going to cover a story, but they may add things that maybe, you know, CNN didn't add in. And so here it is that we have these witnesses that had seen these things and they recorded them for us today. And so the reason why there are slight differences between the Gospels, but in many places they compare, is because of different perspective. One was a doctor, you know. There's just different ways that we look at things. And so we will report by the way we see things. However, the scripture never contradicts itself. And people who say it does, I challenge you. Show me where. Because I find out that usually when people say that, in fact, every time they say that, it's because they have not really understood the scriptures. And how do we understand the scriptures? By the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of truth. Jesus said, I will give you another comforter, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. And he will teach you all things. And he will bring to your remembrance the things that I've taught you. And he will also show you things to come. And so we've been given the Holy Spirit. So we may know the things that are freely given to us. That we may know the truth. And the truth is what sets people free. Luke chapter 2 verse 7. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I want you to hear this. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. Now, if you look this up in the Greek, when it talks about to all the people, it really means your people, a specific people group. Because this great joy that we're going to talk about this morning is not available for everyone. but it is available to those who are born of God, who are in right relationship with God. And so we got to be careful about just making this blanket statement that everybody's going to heaven. That is a lie. Not everybody is a child of God. But to as many as received him, to them he gave the authority to become the sons of God. To them that believe on his name. So, in verse 11, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this is a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. Goodwill towards men. Now we're going to look at some of these scriptures here. Interesting that Jesus, as prophesied in Micah, in chapter 5 and verse 2, Micah the prophet said by the Holy Spirit, you Bethlehem Ephrathah, specifically Ephrathah Bethlehem, because there are several Bethlehems, so that there would be no mistake as to where the Christ child would be born. Though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. This is not just a man. This is, amen, the Word of God that became the Son of God, was born, amen, of a virgin. God was planted by, and the Son was planted in the womb of a woman who had never been with a man, so that that blood, and only that blood, could cleanse away the sins of the world. And interesting that Bethlehem means what? House of bread. Jesus said in John 6:48, I am the bread of life. He said, I am the bread. If you eat me, you'll live. Amen? Christmas is about the incarnation of God, that God became flesh. 1 Timothy 3:16 confirms this. And without controversy or question, great is the mystery of godliness. Capital G, God was manifested in the flesh. Isaiah 9 and 6 says that one of the names given to this child would be wonderful. That word wonderful means a miracle. This was a miraculous birth, a miracle child. Why? Because it was not human, amen, in the sense that he was born of human father ancestry. But he was 100% God and 100% man. He was the God-man. And why was it necessary for Jesus, amen, the Son of God, the Word, to become the Son of God? Why was it necessary for God to become a man? It's because mankind had sinned against God and fallen from His glory. Because Adam, the first man, had sinned, God had to come in the likeness of Adam as, amen, our substitute. He had to become himself a man to redeem us from the curse that came upon man because of rebellion against the Word of God. And because in the very beginning God had given mankind dominion over the earth, He had given us authority as sons and daughters of the Most High God to represent Him and His kingdom upon the earth. And because we had sold out to Satan by listening to His voice, and all down through the ages, mankind was born in sin because of the sins of Adam. And the last Adam, though, was Jesus Christ, amen, the miracle baby that came, hallelujah, in the very likeness of sinful man, yet without sin, to become a sacrifice for the sins of the world. Hallelujah. So we can be free. This child was not only the Son of God, but he was also the Son of Man. When Jesus spoke about himself on the earth, he spoke about himself as being the Son of Man, because he was also, right? Son of Man. He was God in humanity. In Luke 19:10, Jesus was declaring, this is the reason why I came. He said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. How many know that God first sought you? You weren't looking for Him. He's looking for you. As a matter of fact, He's very relentless because He's not willing that anyone should perish. And sometimes life has to get very difficult for us in order for us to realize that I can't do this without God. It's a good place to be, you know, where you're in a place where you have to depend on God now. Why? Because it keeps you from destruction. It keeps you from destroying yourself. Because we begin to mess ourselves up and our lives become a mess when we begin to say in our hearts that I don't need God. Why do we need God? Because we came out from Him. We're a part of Him. We were made for Him. We were made in the likeness of Him. That's what it says in the book of Acts, chapter 17, that we're His offspring. Yeah. So we must be reconciled. We must be brought back into right relationship to God. And the only way to be reconciled is through this one way that He has made available. And that is through Himself. It's through Himself in the Son. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. It's a mystery. But God has revealed Himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And yet the three agree in one. Whatever the Holy Spirit does, Jesus does. Whatever Jesus does, the Father does. They agree. They're holy. There's no disconnect. God's not saying one thing and Jesus is saying another thing and the Holy Spirit's saying another thing. They're in perfect harmony. They're as holy. What God says, what He thinks, what He speaks, what He does, right? They all agree. There's total agreement. He's complete, without flaw. He's holy. And the only way for us to be holy is to be in Him who's holy. To abide in Him. And I know we hear some, at least it's getting harder and harder to find anything about the true meaning of Christmas today. But you know, forgive me for I have sinned. I watched Peanuts Christmas the other day. It's still one of those things, man. It's just from since I was a kid, I was watching Charlie Brown Christmas. Didn't want to miss it. And at least they're talking about the Christ child in that, you know. Hallelujah. But, you know, Christmas is not just, I want you to hear this today. It's not just a cute little story of a baby in a manger. As many just make it out to be just this cute little story about a little baby born in the stable. And, you know, isn't that cute? The animals and everybody's bowing down to the little baby Jesus. And, you know, folks, this was not he did not have a glorious birth in the sense that he was born in very difficult situation. Amen. Very impoverished situation. He became, if you will, the son of a carpenter. He did not come riding on king's horses, amen? And with the elite of that time, he came as a babe, amen? Into the world, a very insignificant thing had happened. Except there were some called the Magi. These were the wise men who were connected. They were following the events. They were able to tell through the way God had revealed things, even through the stars, of where this birth would take place. And they were wise in that they were seeking to find the Christ child. They wanted to be there and experience that. And I believe it's clear that it was probably 2 years, at least we know at least 2 years later, where they had actually seen Jesus. It wasn't at his very birth, but he was a toddler when they first came to Jesus. But they came to seek him because they were truly wise. The truly wise, you see, are people who seek him. And the world will not think of you as wise. They will think it's foolishness. Why? Because the natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit. The wisdom of God is wiser, amen, than the wisdom of man. Much wiser. And the Bible even says the foolishness of God, what people may think is foolish. Amen. It confounds the wisdom of the world. Who's going to put their faith in a crucified God? Hallelujah. Anybody here?
Yeah.
And the reason why is because he's not on the cross anymore. Hallelujah. He is risen indeed. And you know what? He's risen in my heart too. But Jesus was born. This child was born to pay the ultimate price for our sins. He lived a very difficult life and then he suffered a brutal death on the cross. We know this. But the great joy that was proclaimed to the angels, you know, by the angel to the shepherds. And notice that even God appeared to shepherds in the field. They would be what you call the average Joe of that day. Yeah. And they said, glory to God in the highest. In the American Standard Version, it says it this way, glory to God in the highest, and which is really a more accurate translation, and on earth peace among men in whom he is well pleased. Peace on earth among men in whom he is well pleased. Now we know that the only thing that pleases God is what? Our faith. Yeah. That we believe him. This great joy that God is offering folks to the world is in knowing that my sins are forgiven. To know that, hallelujah, I had a death sentence written on me. I was on my way to hell and God saved me. God forgave me. God gave me a brand new beginning. God made me one of his own. He made me his child. That to me is joy. To know, hallelujah, that this ain't it. This world ain't it. People say, well, this world is hell. No, it's not. What you're seeing is symptoms of hell on the earth. And they're only symptoms, folks. The real hell is a much, much, much worse. And we see the goodness and the glory of God in the earth, do we not? We see the goodness, but we're only getting a glimpse, a little glimpse of heaven. Of the glories that shall be revealed. And when we see him in the full revelation of who he is, we're going to fall down and say, holy, holy, whoa. God's glory is so powerful, his presence is so powerful that you can't help but praise him. When God touches your life, can you not help but praise him? How many have just spontaneously praise the Lord? And you do that because God has touched your spirit. And there's a quickening inside. Life came. Hallelujah. When God shows up, folks, when God touches you, you can't help but praise him. And I know you know this, but showing up for church on Christmas does not guarantee anyone a place in God's kingdom. Well, I'll do the man upstairs a favor and go to church today. It's kind of like the man prayer on red green, right? I can change, I guess. You know what? If I have to, yeah. You must be transformed. Amen. God's not here to patch anybody up. He wants you to become changed. Amen. And the only way you're going to be changed is to repent of your sins and cast yourself at his feet and say, Lord, here I am. Take this mess and fix me. Amen. Change me. Rearrange me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if you don't think you're a mess, then you need to ask God to show you what you really are. Amen. But let me just say this, that in Christ, we have become new creations. Yes. So if you're in Christ today, you're a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Who do we live? We live according to the new nature. We live according to the rule of the Spirit now in our hearts, as God has given the Spirit to those who obey him. And the Spirit of God cries out saying, Abba, Father. You will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. God is a spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So folks, Jesus came to save us from ourselves. We're our own worst enemy. That's why I must submit myself daily to Christ. Say, Lord, lead. Lord, guide me. Direct me this day. Show me the way. Deliver me from evil. Amen? Amen. Lead me in the truth. And you know God has daily bread for each one of us? All you got to do is ask Him for it. You got to ask Him for it, though. What is that daily bread? It's a provision of His Spirit and of His grace in your life. Everything that you have need of for that day, God has it, but you have to ask. Give us this day our daily bread. And Jesus said in Luke 13:5, because there are many who are comparing themselves with others and thinking, well, I'm a pretty good person. You know, surely God will accept me, but certainly he's not going to accept old Joe over there, because look how much of a sinner he is. You know, and brother, let me help get that sliver out of your eye, and you don't realize you have a beam in your own, right? But God told us, and Jesus said this, that unless you change your mind, change the way you think, you will perish. My thoughts have to come under submission to God's thoughts. What are God's thoughts? God's thoughts are His Word. His Word is my rule. Amen. His Word is my standard. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, it's not the will of God. That's how you know. People are asking, well, I don't know what the will of God is for my life. Start reading the will of God. God will show you. And your spirit that's born of Him will bear witness to the truth. And you'll say, that's good. Yes, I agree. That's what I need to be doing. That's the will of God. Because when you're not a believer, you could care less about the Word of God. You just want to do your own thing. But when you're born of God, all of a sudden, you desire to live for God. You desire to do the things that please Him. So you start to search and say, Lord, show me, reveal Yourself to me. I want to know You. I don't want to just learn about Jesus. That's pretty boring. I want to know Jesus. Not to say that Jesus is boring, but when we just learn about Him and we don't have the encounter with Him, then our theology is dead. And there are many who have lots of theology, but they don't have the experience. They don't have the reality. You see, God does not want us just to learn about Him. You know that. The reason why we learn about Him is so that we may intimately know Him. We may have a personal relationship with Him. Now, the reason why, once again, Christmas was necessary, that it was necessary for God to become a man, is because it was impossible for you and I to save ourselves. Amen. So God took the initiative. God so loved the world that He gave. He first gave. Amen? So He took the initiative. And why did He come to save us from our sin? Okay. Well, what does sin lead to?
Death.
What kind of death? Eternal death. In other words, Jesus came to save you from the horrors of this place called hell, which was not designed for man originally, but for the angels that had sinned. But those who reject the gift of God, which is eternal life, those who reject the love of the truth, are you with me? Will spend eternity in this place. So Jesus came, and that's why He had to pay such a horrendous price, folks, because the horrors of death and hell and the grave, everything, all the sin of the world was placed upon Jesus. So that Already, folks, the penalty for sin has been paid. It doesn't have to happen in the future. It's already been paid. What does that mean to me today? That means that all I have to do is receive what God has already done for me. And when you are born of His Spirit, when you sincerely have repented of your sins, when you turn to Christ, what happens is the grace of God comes into your life. And when the grace of God comes into your life, it will change the way that you think. It will change the way that you live. You will no longer want to live like the devil. Do not be deceived. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Those who sow to the sin nature will of that nature, that corruptible nature, reap corruption. But those of us who sow to the Holy Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Who? Now, stay there because we're going somewhere with this. In Mark chapter 9, verse 43, I want you to hear this. Jesus said this. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed rather than having two hands to go to hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched. Verse 44, Mark 9, 44, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame rather than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched. Where their worm, listen, does not die and the fire is not quenched. What does that mean? Jesus says it 3 times here, folks, in a row. It means that hell is forever. Hell is as eternal as heaven is eternal. And you don't want to go there. He says, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye rather than having 2 eyes to be cast into hellfire. Jesus is saying it's that bad of a place that if it has to happen, cut your hand off, pluck your eye out, whatever it takes, get yourself out of the garbage. Amen? Get your life clean before God. Repent of your sin is what he's saying. Because it's better for you to cut your hand off and go into glory, amen, than to have 2 hands and go into hell. Well, that's an awful hard message. That's the message that Jesus taught. And I don't want anybody going to hell. I don't want anybody here going to hell. I don't want to go to hell. And so I'm going to warn you about this place. Amen? Amen. Is there people that are playing patty cake with the devil? They're playing games with God. They're striking deals with God. The only deal God wants to hear is that I'm sorry enough about the way I've sinned against you and I've grieved your heart and caused you to have to go to the cross that I'm not going to do it anymore. I repent. I change my mind. I'm not going to do those things that grieve my Lord. Because if I love Jesus, I don't do those things that hurt him. Do you love Jesus today? Because we love him, we obey him. And when you obey him, God gives the Holy Spirit to you. And when you receive the Holy Spirit, life is good in the God zone. That's why people can have righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. They're actually enjoying their Christian life. That's why they're hungry. That's why when they come, they realize that how good, because their hearts are clean with God. They're so, now I can come and just enjoy God. Because he's enjoyable. Wow. Are you with me? When I come here, I'm coming here to enjoy God. Yes. Amen? And I can do that because my heart is right with God. Yes. And God wants you to be right with him. That's why he gave Jesus. But it's your choice. You can choose which path you will follow. That's why Jesus said, wide is the road that leads to destruction. What is the wide road? It's the way that the world is going. Worldly people. There are people that claim to be Christ followers, but they're worldly. They love the world. There's something wrong with that picture, folks. Let me tell you, it doesn't line up with what God says. If you're in Christ, you're a new creation. Could it be that there are people who have a false conversion? That they think they're saved when they're not? Your soul is not something you toy with. Jesus says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world but lose his soul? But when your heart is right with God, then you want to know him more. Because when the love of God breaks through, it changes everything. Amen? You all of a sudden it's like, wow, God is so awesome. He's so pleasurable. He's so wonderful. He's so miraculous. I want to know him. You know, none of us have to do what we're doing here today, right? You wanted to be here. I trust that you wanted to be here today. Unless you came to please mama or something, right? But but this word glad tidings is where we get also good news. Gospel, good news. This is the good news. That there's going to be peace on earth. Amen. Goodwill towards men who are in right standing with God. And the reason why they can be in right standing with God is because of the birth of Jesus. Not only his birth, but his sinless life, death, resurrection, exaltation. And the fact that now he has graced us and sent his Holy Spirit into our hearts. And we've become sons and daughters of God. So now we can worship him in spirit and in truth. If you're here today and you really do not know, I'm talking, really know Jesus, would you bow your heads this morning? Right now where you're at, just open your heart to him. Say, Jesus, I want to know you. Lord, I want you to save me. Lord, I want you to save me from this place called hell. I don't know if I'm ready. I don't know if I were to die today that I would be with you. And Lord, I want you to take away the sin, Lord, in my life, in my heart. Take it away from me, Jesus. I believe you died on the cross for me. I want you to cleanse me right now, Lord. And God, I want you to come into my heart and change me, transform me, Lord. I want you to change me so much, Lord, that my life, my mind, my thinking, my thoughts, everything come into order with you, God. I want to truly be born again. Lord, I don't want to guess at this. I want to know that I have eternal life. Jesus, would you reveal yourself to me? See, God doesn't suggest that we repent, but he commands all men everywhere to repent. To repent means I was going in the wrong direction. I was doing wrong things in my life, but I have changed my mind. I have decided from this day forward, I make up my mind to follow Jesus.